People sometimes ask me if I became the Ron Van Dam Show announcer because I love what Ron does and I love his comedy. Well, no. It's because Ron broke me out of a Tijuana prison back in 82 and smuggled me across the border in a suitcase in the trunk of a Yugo. And I still owe him for that. Muchas gracias, mi amigo. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, that's fine.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Whatever. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the person to whom they refer to in the title of the damn thing. Make yourself comfortable. I will entertain you and inform you for the next 30 minutes. Kind of, maybe a little shorter. As a former stripper, this was the only job I could get. Actually, I'm not a former stripper. Surprise, right? Oh, Ron, we thought you were. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. I appreciate putting the idea in your head and then you being surprised that I'm actually not the idea that I put in your head. That's pretty cool, isn't it? All right. Enough mind games and enough theme music. Theme by Jason Shaw, ladies and gentlemen. Comedy bits and opening announcement and all that stuff. John Shanahan and Nicole Reed booking many of the national interviews. And then there's me, and then there's you, and then there's like somebody else, but I don't know who. Thanks for being here. I hate social media. Let me say it a little harder. I hate social media with a passion. I can't stand it. I don't know where it came from. It's ruining society, and it's doing a number on me, too. Look, I'm going to ask you a favor right now because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. On your social media thing, see, I don't know what I'm doing. Apparently, you have the option of liking things. When you listen to this program, would you just like it all the time, please? Apparently, that's important to me for some reason that I can't fathom. I mean, I really do like to be liked. I think that's a nice thing. I'm not asking you to love me or have your way with me or anything. Just like me. That's all I'm asking. I call it the Sally Field question. That's all. If there's a review section where you can review the program, do that. But you better keep it nice because I know where you live. All that social media crap that people do, if you could do it upon me, ooh, that sounded kind of interesting, then please do it. Apparently, this is what I'm supposed to do. Subscribe to me. Subscribe to everything that I do. Subscribe to my magazines. Like me, subscribe me, and follow me. Not in a perverted manner. I don't like the word follow because it's kind of just one step away from stalking. But social media-wise, please do that to me as well. Smother me with social media things. Follow me, subscribe to me, like me, review me, touch my breasts. No, don't do that. The last one, don't do that. Because that's not social media, I just realized. Oops, going a little too far, Ron. Going a little too far. Anyway, just do something, please. And that's what I'm supposed to say to you by the law of my social media provider. Okay, let's move on. Because I don't know what I just said at all. Just thank you very much for participating in this social experiment. Okay. All right. Here, I'm going to tell you about something today, very shortly. It won't take long. It's very important because a lot of you are not up on this stuff, and I'm going to try to make it simple for you. The Treasury Secretary or Economic Secretary or Secretary at the front desk, I don't know, says that on June 1st, which is not too far from now, the country will go into financial default. Oh, okay. That sounds bad. And I'll tell you why that would be bad. Because that means that the United States cannot pay their bills. They don't have enough money, and they can't pay them. I don't understand that, but that's the deal. Social Security checks for people that have lived their lives paying into it? No, you're not getting your money. We don't have it. Anything connected with the government, your little food stamps, your little federal program things, government will not be able to pay anybody. There are people that work for the government, like post office and all that kind of people. No pay. It's a serious thing. As bad as that seems to be, what is really the worst is the stock market would take a nosedive. And whether you have money in the stock market or not, you will lose money. It will send the economy into a pretty big tailspin, and so will the rest of the world because they also feed off of this country. And believe me, the United States is supposed to be the poster child for goodness. It is becoming the poster child for chaos, disorganization, and division, and inefficiency. This is what Putin loves, watching democracy fizzle out and destroy itself. They didn't do it. We did it ourselves to ourselves. And why? Because we can't fucking get along. So the ramifications are indeed horrible. And it's not too far away. It can all be solved easily. There's a thing called a debt ceiling. No, don't look up. It's not there. It's a thing. The debt ceiling means that the government now can, they raise the ceiling, so now you're not defaulting on anything, now you have enough money. We've been doing that a lot lately through the years, through the decades. Actually, just through the last decade, pretty much. More in earnest. It's been a problem with both Democrats and Republicans. Democrats love these programs to build the country and help people out. Republicans like to say, I don't care what you do, let's run this country on no money whatsoever, or at least a lot less. That's the tussle back and forth. So the Republicans right now are saying, well, unless you're going to cut expenses, we're not going to raise this debt ceiling that you're talking about to get us out of trouble here. Democrats say, look, we got to keep this country on track for being progress, for building roads and building jobs and making sure everybody can put food in their mouth and that kind of thing. They want programs to go out. Well, look. They're not getting along, these two sides. And this would be the President Biden on the Democratic side, although there is a team working on it, it's not just him. And on the Republican side, it's the House Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, who is basically a puppet of the far right. So here's a deal, that there is no deal. Politically, someone's going to get blamed for this big time. But here's the worst part of it all, is there was a time in this country when both sides of the aisle, that's Republican Democrats, used to get together and have lunch and have a drink and work things out. And the word is compromise. The word is compromise. Have you ever been married, you people? Do you not realize that nobody gets their way all the time? Do you not realize that? Do you not realize that you're on the planet with another person and that person wants it their way and you want it your way, this is like a gigantic Burger King. Do you realize that compromise is how we are supposed to live? It's the only way to do it. And yet these schmucks in Congress don't know how to compromise. They're like kids saying, no, I'm not going to do it. And I'm just going to hold my breath until I die. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's people in this country that want to live, that want life to go on at least as normal as possible. Stop your bickering and get your feet out of the cement. You give in a little bit and you give in a little bit and we're going to meet in the middle. This whole problem could be solved in 5 minutes. But because there are headstrong pressures in both parties, especially the Republicans, nothing happens. We just stall things and we make it all screwed up so that the other party will give in. Well, nobody's given in here. It is the most embarrassing part of living in this country is Congress. The fact that they cannot get stuff done because all they're out to do is to screw the other side and make them look bad. And we suffer for it big time. It's absolutely disgusting. There's no other word for it. There's no other way to explain it. Most of these senators and representatives are on the elderly side, which is fine. They're experienced. That's all right. But they're acting like children. The children are acting like children. The adults are acting like children. And nobody's stepping up to the plate and saying, look, stop the bullshit. It's amazingly embarrassing, and it's hurtful, and it's stupid. It's just stupid. I love this country. It's the best one. But man, don't destroy yourself. Don't destroy yourself because you got too much stubborn idiocy going on in your head. Look, everything's got a solution to it. This debt ceiling thing and paying the country's bills, it's quite simple. I would say to President Biden, Joe, this isn't the time to go spending like crazy. I know if we had the money, we could spend things and build things up and it would be incredible. Military, infrastructure, helping people out who don't have money. Yeah, I mean, that would be ideal. But maybe this year ain't the time for it. We got to cut back, baby. There's a lot of wastage in the system here. What I would do, Joe, is we're going to form a bipartisan commission to look at every single government expenditure and make sure that it's clean. That nothing's going out that shouldn't go out. Nothing's being spent that shouldn't be spent. That defense companies and military defense systems are not raping us with price gouging. Let's make sure. Let's help out Ukraine without spending too much money. Let's help out in other ways. Or find some other ways so it's not all that expensive. Let's have a bipartisan commission to, in a very nice way, make sure that when we spend a dollar, we're only spending a dollar. That we're not spending $2 trillion when we can get the same thing for $1 trillion. Let's do that. And right now, good faith, let's raise the debt ceiling so this country doesn't go bankrupt and can't pay its own bills. Okay, how about that? How much money do we owe to China? Holy shit. God, I mean, in the scheme of things, they own us. That's scary in itself. That's because of mismanagement. It's been going on for a while. Clinton actually balanced the budget way back when, in the prior century, in the 1600s. Clinton actually balanced the budget. Then we got into the Iraq War. Not so much. That's an expensive deal. We're pretty much at war now, funding Ukraine. So, yeah, okay. When Donald Trump got into office for 4 years, check your expenses then through the roof. So I'm telling you, man, I mean, everybody's got to take some blame here, but the blame, it's not a blame game thing right now. It's resolving and negotiating and compromising. And if you guys can't do it, then I continue to say this is a pathetic situation that we're in. And it's embarrassing, and it's wrong, and it's hurting all of us. And if we were smart enough as Americans and kept up on what's going on, we would say in unison, I don't care what's happening here. You guys are hired to do a job. You do it or you're out of here. Compromise. Take that word, underline it, and do it. And do it fast. And do it now. And then always act like that. When you have opposing views, you find the middle and you go there and you do it there. Period. Now is not the time for everything. Sometimes you have to put some things off. Let's take the brains and start using them. All right. I've gotten my 2 cents in. Well, we're talking about debt ceiling, trillions and trillions of dollars, and I talked about getting my 2 cents in. See how inexpensive it can be to form an opinion? Come on, man. Why don't you just get a... get a negotiator into the mix there between the two sides, you know? Let's do some arbitration. Let's keep this out of court. Okay. Welcome to the show. How are you doing? Good to be with you. Social media wise, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a talk show host. I've been doing this for 30 years. I'm not a social media expert. I thought TikTok was a kind of clock. I don't know what the hell's going on now. So do that, please. Follow me, not too closely. Follow me, but don't touch me. Like me. I'm so likable. Like me. Review me. Subscribe to me. Make me a sandwich. All right, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, a guest will be joining us that I hope that you will find fascinating. I don't see why you wouldn't, to be honest.
Hello, I'm Dick Mulligan III, owner of Big Dick's Huge Sausage. My grandpa Richard Mulligan opened Big Dick's Huge Sausage back in the 50s with the intention of bringing local folks good food based around custom-crafted sausages made right here in our area. He wanted to be sure people got the most bang for their family buck by filling their bellies, and he wanted to do it maybe with a little bit of a wink. Because back then, people could take a joke. Recently, it's been brought to my attention through Yelp reviews and Facebook posts and Twitters and Insta-whatevers that some people are offended by our name and some of our menu items and how we do business. So in the spirit of... well, not having to listen to that, we will be making some changes here at Big Dick's Huge Sausage. First off, we're changing the name. Big Dick's Huge Sausage is now Mulligan's Sausages and More. And that "and more" thing is because several people, including Patty CZU1754, felt the need to call out the fact that we also do hot dogs and burgers and fries and chicken sandwiches and onion rings, you know, like so many restaurants do, but apparently Patty CZU1754 and Mr. Twister 27, among others with a lot of free time, feel it's false advertising to only say sausages, so fine. We'll also be changing the name of some menu items. The Little Dick Hot Dog, which again is custom crafted for us by a butcher here in our area, will now just be called a hot dog on the kids' menu. Our big sack of fries is now just a bag of French fries. And our best-selling hardwood grilled 14-inch long hot Italian sausage, which you cannot get anywhere else around here, will no longer be called the Throat Buster, nor will a staff member offer to hold it for you while you eat it with no hands. And finally, and quite honestly, this is a change I should have made years ago. We will no longer dispense condiments like mayonnaise and mustard out of hollowed out dildos. That was my dad's idea. He was not entirely right in the head. Mulligan sausages and more, we're changing with the times. I hope to see you soon, unless your patty sees you 1754.
Hello, Ron.
Hey, how are you doing, Billy?
Very good.
Excellent. This is New York Times bestselling author and radio host, Dr. Billy Goldberg. You can hear him on SiriusXM. Does a weekly radio show, Dr. Radio. It's the Emergency Room Medicine Show. And he joins us today because we're talking about that subject. Well, thanks for being here, first of all.
Well, I'm happy to be here. You know, I like talking on the radio. That's why I've been doing it for 15 years.
Yeah, I've been doing it for similar, like 20, 25, maybe even 30. And yeah, now I'm talking to myself as if somebody's listening.
I do that too. I've been working in the ER for 30 years. So
really?
But I try not to do medical procedures on myself.
That would be an interesting program. Okay.
Yeah, we can cover it all.
You probably could. Just explain what you're doing because it's radio. That's the only difference. Okay, we're talking about taking care of yourself first aid wise, but in a different manner, in a sense that's actually healthy. It sounds like it doesn't make sense. Like, of course, you're doing healthy stuff when you're doing first aid, but could do better. Is that the idea?
You know, one of the things I talk about on the radio all the time is that we don't have all the answers in medicine. So it's really the simple, easy things that are really sometimes most effective. So what we're talking about here is, like, you know, these clean label ingredients, these natural products that have been around forever. You recognize the name. You're not freaked out by some fancy chemical sounding words. And, you know, these are things that you want to put in your body, on your body. And I think there's a big push for people to look for these things and to desire these things. I think companies are responding.
Yeah, we're into natural these days, aren't we? All of a sudden, everything's natural and clean, which is a good thing, because before wasn't necessarily the case.
Yeah, listen, some of the most common things that we use are from natural products, but then they've been synthesized. So
yeah.
Common medications, aspirin is from willow bark, penicillin was from red mold. There are a lot of things, but then it becomes this big business and they become synthesized and mass-produced, and then you don't know what's in it. By the same token, there's natural products where people make false claims. So what I really like about what Curad Naturals is doing with their bandages, which are infused with Arm & Hammer baking soda and infused with aloe vera, is that they're just really taking the most simple products and putting them in things that have been around forever. You know, Curad's been making bandages since 1951. So to have a little bit of these natural products in them, it just makes me more comfortable. It's, you know, it's not magic, but it makes you feel a little better about the simple things that you do to take care of yourself.
That makes sense. I guess everybody runs into the need for putting a Band-Aid on somewhere or a bandage of some sort, don't they?
Oh, my God. I was joking that, you know, I go into work, and then you hit the hand sanitizer. It's not until I hit the hand sanitizer that I realize how many cuts I have on my hands.
Yeah, especially you. Know? Yeah.
So there's little wounds all the time that we're covering up. You know, I have some other tricks that I can use because I'm an ER doctor for 30 years, so I can cover them up with skin glue, but then I'm still covering them up with bandages. And when you have a Curad, what they do is they put this aloe vera and vitamin E into the wound pad. There's aloe that's infused into the whole fabric backing. It's just, I don't know. There's something about it that makes me feel a little better about it.
Well, as long as it's natural, infuse away, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. We get into these dyes and things like that, which are probably not good for us.
Well, I was looking at this. I'm sitting at my wife's desk because she took the only desk in the house.
Oh, sorry.
And she's got a thing of hand lotion on her table. And I look at the ingredients and there's stuff that I don't even, you know, 30 years in medicine, I don't recognize some of these labels. And, you know, I want simple stuff. And there's an enormous market for this. I heard that by 2026, market research says we're going to be spending $64 billion a year on clean label products. So I just want to turn to people I can trust and have the simple things. You know, there's stuff around the house that people use all the time.
Yeah.
You know, hydrogen peroxide, Epsom salt,
mm-hmm.
baking soda that's in your fridge, and aloe vera could be in your garden. And you just use this stuff. And, you know, for the more serious things, if you have a big burn, a deep burn, you should be coming to see the doctor. But for the little things around the house, you want reliable products that you can feel safe with.
It makes all the sense in the world. The funniest thing to me is baking soda, which is great, and it's so natural, and it's used for almost everything. But I love the way that they branded it by saying, buy a box of baking soda, pour it down your sink, flush it away, and throw the box down. And this is a wonderful product for them. It's just here's a product, put it down the drain, buy another one, put it down the drain. Whoa, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been using a lot of that because I'm worried about my pipes. I've been using my baking soda and vinegar in the pipe.
That's actually true.
But we use baking soda we use baking soda in the hospital. We call it sodium bicarbonate, but we use sometimes with numbing medication. You know, the lidocaine that we use.
Huh.
We put a little baking soda in it, sodium bicarbonate, to make it sting less because it buffers it a little bit. We use it to clean the feet on our homeless patients. Which I'm not recommending that you do that at home necessarily, but you can. You know, but it's a safe product that's out there, and you know, Curad's using it in these bandages.
Yeah.
I got a couple of boxes on my desk.
Yeah, I always have a couple of boxes. I mean, first aid kits, first of all, should be number one in a home, and a lot of people don't do that. But I guess you you advocate first aid kit. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's really simple stuff. You know, people think there's like magic behind these things. Mm-hmm. Like antibiotic creams are one of those things that people really love. All it is, it's not really killing bacteria. It's creating a barrier. So you can use any sort of cream. You know, you really want to, the most important thing to do when you have a wound is to wash it out and clean it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's to keep it covered with something. And if you can keep it covered with something that's clean and natural, you know, that's what, you know, I would like to do.
As you know, with what you do, both on radio and professionally, and you know, in the hospital, what's the cleanest thing to put on your face when you're washing? I know some soaps are bad, some moisturizers are bad. Well, I mean, what's the purest, best thing you can do?
I mean, so there's a big push towards these antibacterial soaps.
Mm.
You don't really need that stuff.
Okay.
You know, we used to, in the hospital, we used to use sterile water to wash things out, and we realized you don't really need to. So it's really about it's the pressure and the volume that gets things clean. So, I mean, you want to have a soap that's not too drying, and you want to just, you know, clean natural water. Now, if you're going to use things like one of those people who uses a neti pot, then you don't want to use tap water. You'd rather use distilled water or sterile water. But for washing your face, it's just, you know, soap and water. And
you
figure out what works for your own skin. And there's no magic to a lot of this stuff.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, bandage-wise and Band-Aid-wise, I have a supply, and I've thrown a lot of boxes out because they didn't work, they didn't stick, they felt wrong. So I went through a lot of money finding the right one, and I agree with you 1,000%. If you get the brand names like Curad, you're good, and why not? Why not?
Yeah, your listeners can check out a lot about it at Curad.com. Now, these bandages, again, the pad is infused, the backing is infused. There's a four-sided seal.
Yep.
So they can go to Curad.com and check it out, and Walmart.com, Amazon, all these places.
Yep.
And I think they'll like these products. You know, again, people make a lot of false claims. I don't think we're trying to make any false claims. We're just trying to keep you happy and healthy, and so that you can listen to us on the radio.
Okay. When can we hear you on the Sirius?
I'm on Thursday morning from 8 to 10 East. That's every week on Thursdays, and I've been doing it for 15 years.
Cool.
I think you should meet me there rather than in the ER. It's probably better for your health.
It's a little cheaper, too. I mean less expensive. I'm sorry, wrong word. Okay.
Definitely less expensive.
Yes,
okay. We can talk about healthcare and our system forever, but I don't think you want to go there.
No, probably not today. Dr. Billy Goldberg, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your time today. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Until then, like me, see me, touch me, feel me, follow me. What am I doing? What am I saying? What am I even saying?